is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. June is Pride Month. One organization is working to create space for Black LGBTQ community members that have not felt included in Pride before.
But when they walk into West Virginia Black Pride Foundation, they sing, they dance.
That story and more coming up this West Virginia Morning. Support for West Virginia Morning is proudly provided by Luke Frazier. 14-year-old Kennedy Miller was found dead in her Boone County home in April. A police report said she was found in a near skeletal state. Her grandparents and mother have been charged with abuse and neglect. Recently, there have been conflicting reports about the actions of state agencies involved in the case and calls for accountability. Brianna Heaney has an update on this story.
Police officers claimed they saw the now-deceased Kennedy Miller nearly a year before her death. They say they were concerned about the girl's well-being, so they went to Boone County Child Protective Services office to file a referral. However, CPS, which is a division of the Department of Human Services, says they have no record of that. GPS data, police reports, and audio obtained from the police officer who visited Kennedy in 2003 all corroborate the police officer's claim that they went to CPS to make a referral after completing a welfare check on the child. Brian Abraham, the governor's chief of staff, said he interviewed the police officers and has come to the conclusion that they did visit CPS, but that the officers may not have followed the proper protocol.
I believe the evidence establishes through both GPS and the testimony of those two troopers to me that they did in fact go to Department of Human Services. That they went there, there was informal contact with the caseworkers, that they relayed the information to those caseworkers, not intending to make any sort of formal referral of any accusation of abuse or neglect.
He says the officers wanted to notify CPS agents that the child had an exaggerated fear of COVID-19 that was preventing her from leaving the home. The Department of Human Services Secretary Cynthia Pursley said the police should have called a 1-800 number to officially make a report instead of going to CPS and speaking with agents directly. Some lawmakers and child safety advocates say classrooms are often where child abuse is discovered and have attributed Miller's homeschooling status as a factor in her death. West Virginia State Superintendent of Schools Michelle Blatt says she would like to strengthen homeschool requirements.
The West Virginia Department of Education is eager to work with the legislature to really see how we can strengthen the guardrails around our homeschool reporting requirements. While we know that we have a great deal of homeschool parents that do things the right way and take care of their kids, and it's the best choice for those families, I think that our 7,000 foster kids in the system is proof that not all parents do what's best for their children.
For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Brianna Heaney in Charleston.
Pride Month is underway, and the West Virginia Black Pride Foundation is carving out a space specifically for Black LGBTQ community members. Reporter Jack Walker spoke with founder and executive director Kasha Snyder McDonald to discuss her organization's vision for a better West Virginia for Black LGBTQ residents.
Kasha, it's great to speak with you. I know your organization was founded back in December 2022. Could you tell me about how West Virginia Black Pride got started?
Well, here in Charleston, West Virginia, they didn't have any kind of Black Pride. It took them a couple of years before they got some Black entertainment for Pride. There was a lot of African-American people and trans people, LGBTQ+, that had nowhere to go. And they also felt like they weren't included into said other organizations. I'm not saying that these organizations did not include them. It's just that they just didn't feel welcomed. We came together, a couple of my friends, and we decided to, they asked, well, we need to have a Black Pride.
And you touched on this a little bit, but for those who might be unfamiliar, could you explain what Black Pride is and what makes Black Pride groups distinct from other LGBTQ organizations?
Black people aren't, Black LGBTQ plus people, or persons, are not, they are accepted in other spaces, but they're not comfortable in those said spaces. We're always told that we're loud. We're always told that we're overbearing and, you know, they just don't want us to be around. The trans community has been one of the most left out communities of all because, you know, people don't want to deal with us. People don't want to date trans women. People don't want to associate with trans women. And trans women are the ones that led the march for the LGBTQ plus community, especially Black trans women. But, of course, we've been overlooked by white LGBTQ plus men. The Black Pride organization, we make sure we have this safe haven. We have a whole host of Black trans and non-binary people here in West Virginia, but you would never know it because they don't feel comfortable. But when we opened West Virginia Black Pride Foundation, they all decided to come. We have a whole host of people that come. They sit, they relax. We have cookouts. We have sister circles. Like I said, we have we talk about Black history. We inform them that they were not that they're not a stigmata on the universe. We try to show them and give them knowledge, and knowledge is power.
So you've been around for about a year and a half now. What has the community response been like so far?
Even when we started a Black Pride, you know, everybody was so excited and so happy and so, you know, on board. And, oh, we're willing to help you and we're willing to do this and do this and do this. And as soon as we opened, there was crickets. There was nobody. We have had some support. Do not get me wrong. Monetary support, we've had very little. But that's because we are Black Pride. The word Black has been weaponized, especially in this day and age. So we've been called prejudice. We've been called dividing the community. We've been called everything but the Son of God.
So it sounds like some potential donors are giving funds to more established LGBTQ organizations as opposed to Black Pride, which has made it difficult for you to get off the ground. Is that accurate?
Oh yeah, we have a Pride here already. And because they already had a Pride, we've been met with, when we reach out to ask for donations, we've been met with, we've already donated. At times it begins to feel racist, bigoted.
Got it. And in pivoting now, what's been your favorite part about creating space for the Black LGBTQ community here in West Virginia?
Oh, gosh. Just to see the community. The Black community, we are located right in the heart of the Black community here in Charleston. And the stigmata between Black people and the LGBTQ plus community was very big. But we are changing it each and every day. And that is the big thing. We had neighbors that never even spoke to us, that made fun of the organization being there, that come and drop off donations, come and sit in our space, ask us if they can come and just relax because it's so serene and so beautiful, and how we beautified the neighborhood by sprucing it up. To see Black trans women and men who are so scared to come outside, to literally walk outside of their own home and be themselves. But when they walk into West Virginia Black Pride Foundation, they sing, they dance, they read poetry, they what we say, day out. they get to be themselves.
That was Kasha Snyder McDonald, founder and executive director of the West Virginia Black Pride Foundation, speaking with reporter Jack Walker about community building among Black LGBTQ West Virginians. For an extended version of this interview, visit our website at wvpublic.org. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:54. Sunny today with high temperatures in the 70s. Clear skies tonight with lows in the 50s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with highs in the 70s. Support for WVPB is provided by the Medical Massage of Huntington, specializing in orthopedic sports and recovery massage through medically based and relaxation therapy. More information, mmohwv.net. On this week's premiere broadcast of Mountain Stage, host Kathy Matea welcomes her good friend and fellow country music star, Susie Boggess, French jazz guitarist Stéphane Rimbaud, folk duo Mama's Broke, singer-songwriter Denisha, and performing songwriter couple Gold Pine. Our song of the week comes from Stéphane Rimbaud in this live performance of Bistro Fada. Rimbaud is joined by Josh Kay, Ari Folman-Cohen, and Nick Anderson. This Django-influenced tune is heard on his fifth album, Origins, which became the theme song for Woody Allen's 2011 Oscar-winning film, Midnight in Paris. Stéphane Rimbaud performing Bistro Fada on the Mountain Stage. To hear the full performance and more, tune in Saturdays at 6 and Sundays at noon right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureau comes from Shepherd University. Our Appalachia Health News Project is made possible with support from Marshall Health. West Virginia Morning is produced with help from Bill Lynch, Brianna Heaney, Chris Schultz, Curtis Tate, Emily Rice, Eric Douglas, Jack Walker, Liz McCormick, and Maria Young. Chris Schultz produced today's show. I'm your host, Teresa Wills. This is West Virginia Morning.